turn, if you will, the book of Romans, chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. And is this on, Christian? Yeah, okay. I don't know if I need to push a button or not. Okay. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you be with us as we preach tonight, as we continue this series. May you help me that I would be able to be clear and bring out biblical truth that we could use in our lives. And Father, may you be with all that we do tonight, your Lord's Supper, the practices, the Sailors Club. May they all be present with your power. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me get over to Romans 14. All right, we're going through on these Wednesday nights the question, what should I do, or should I do it? It's a common question, especially early in our Christian life. Is something right or wrong? Should I do something? And a lot of times when you're first saved, sincerely, you just have no clue. So we're going through a series of questions that we can lay up against that question to sort of help us. Jesus often asked questions, didn't he? And he asked those questions to make people have to commit themselves to principle. So let's go through what we've gone through till now, add two more answers, and move on tonight. Should I do it? Number one, would Jesus do it himself? Could you picture the Lord Jesus do it? Number two, is there a clear scripture that says yes or it forbids it? In that case, it's settled. I mean, you find the scripture, thou shalt not, then it's settled. I mean, that's the way it is. Number three, am I being naive? And that means just maybe you're not seeing the real issues. You're just not seeing through. And Satan has a way of trying to us to draw us into stuff, and we don't think it through. We're just being a little bit, naive, if you know what the word means there. And so the devil is transformed into an angel of light, and he can make something appear harmless when really it's totally different. No different than a child. When I can remember telling my children, if somebody drives up in front of the house and says, here, would you like some candy? You better come straight to the house. And if you ever do that, and that's the situation, I promise you, I'll give you some candy to replace it. You know, I don't want them to be, because kids are susceptible, they're naive. And so we can be naive. And so that's what we want to ask. Satan can appear as an angel. We dealt with that. Number four, is it of satanic origin? And we talked a lot about things like witches. And when I was younger, working with the teenagers, Dungeons and Dragons and all that kind of stuff, Ouija boards and seances, these have no roots in Christian thought. They are definitely of a satanic origin. So I sort of provoked over towards the teenagers and that the video games or the electronic games that we play, when they're based on casting spells and demonic things, you ought to just chuck that one. Just find another one to get. It is just an unwise choice. Can I give you something parallel? And I noticed this back probably 6-7 years ago. Not just at Halloween time. It's amazing how many television shows are based on somebody that's a witch or a warlock or has some demonic power. Turn it off. And what got me convicted, I was naive in thinking about this, just a lot younger. I watched some, you probably did as a younger, Bewitched. You know, really, why would I have my children being desensitized towards witchcraft and having, what was her name, Samantha or whatever it was, as a good witch, or white witch or whatever you want to call, and all the other things. It is just not wise to be embracing things and all that kind of stuff. And since I got my foot in it, there is Harry Potter and having your kids grow up reading Harry Potter. So you come and argue with me afterwards on that one. But these are not wise choices for a Christian. They desensitize you and we become linked with them. I'll go a step further. When I was young in my home church, we every fall would have sort of like something, sort of like an initiation for the teenagers, which is not wise, but that's what they did when I was in the youth group, and they would always do it at Halloween. I mean, they would sort of, what we'd say today, sort of fun haze the kids with Halloween stuff, And when I got older and in Bible college and got ready to go out as a youth pastor, I said, what were we doing? Who was thinking? Where were the adult Christians that were focusing the whole youth group on witchcraft and Halloween and all that kind of stuff? So that whole idea, I didn't mean to go that back far down it, but is it of satanic origin? Number five, will it harm my body? And so we had three things that we asked, will it harm? Will it harm my body? And so things like cigarette smoking, drinking, these games that you play to the edge of fear, will it harm my body? Number six, will it harm my testimony? Others seeing me do it, will they say, and you're a Christian? And they'll be shocked that you would be doing that. And then number seven, will it harm other Christians' conscience? Or I put it a different way, will it cause them to stumble? Will it cause a brother maybe even with a weaker conscience? And I said, there's nothing particularly wrong with that. But I know that if I do that, here's this brother over here, it's going to encourage him to go past his conscience. And I know that that's going to cause him to really have problems. I ought to, and we introduced a word to us, forbearance. I ought to back off and not assert my liberty. So back away from it. And so will it harm my brother's conscience? I ought to be careful. All right, two things we're going to add tonight. Romans chapter 14, and let's look at verse 22. Romans 14:22. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith, circle the last word, is sin. So here's the question. To you, at least, is it doubtful? Is it doubtful? Go back and examine these words again. Just look at it. It says that what we need to do has to be a matter of clear faith. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing that he allows. So here I'm going to do something, and inside I'm saying, I'm really not sure I should be doing this. But I'm going to do it anyhow. And it says in verse 23, he that doubteth is damned. In this case, it's using the example of eating things offered to idols. That's why it says damned if he eats. So is there anything wrong with food in itself because it's been offered to an idol or not? Does it get any germs on it, spiritual germs, or no? And it's a man. They would go down to the market. The idol worship people would take that meat and sell it in the discount center in the market. They call it the shambles. And you go down there, instead of paying like, you know, $10 a pound for some sort of steak, you get it down there for $1.99. You say, man, I'll go to the shambles to buy my steak, and it doesn't bother me a bit. It's just meat's meat, whether it's been offered to the idols or not. I mean, I'm just going to take advantage of their stupidity and, you know, and bother me. But your brother who used to worship idols, he says, I'm not so sure. He said, you know, I know that I know, but I'm still not sure. He that doubteth, look at the last part of that verse. He that doubteth and does it is damned if he eat. For that which is not of faith, we would say of a pure conscience, becomes sin for that person. So let me explain something, and I think this is something that I've seen a lot as Christians. We tend to do the opposite of what I'm just teaching. Unless you can absolutely show me I can, I'm going to do it. There may be some doubt over it, but until you nail it down in black and white, I'm just going to go ahead. But I may have some doubts. Be careful. If you just haven't got a perfect peace about it, don't proceed. There are a lot of other ways to do it or to have fun or to eat or to whatever it is you're thinking about. But if you've got a lingering doubt, let me tell you a second thing about this. Let's pretend that that my good brother here has perfect peace about it. And I go up and I say, what do you think about such and such? And he said, well, I have perfect peace about it. And I, you know, if you want to go ahead and do it. So I go over here and I say, well, Johnny Christian over here says it's okay. I'm still not sure. But because Johnny Christian says it's okay, even though I doubt, you're on thin ice. You need to settle it up in your heart before you proceed. Don't do it just because somebody else has peace about it. You get peace about it. And that's what I'm seeing. If it's doubtful, don't. Instead of, if it's doubtful, I'm going to do it until somebody tells me I can't. There's a big difference in attitude toward this. And so, don't sin against your conscience. I think most of us can remember when we were first saved and our conscience really got sort of extra sensitive again. Do you remember that? It just all of a sudden everything, man, it got really, that's a good thing. What's bad is when we repress it. Now, I know we can get to a point where we're afraid to do anything, and I'm not talking about somebody that gets in that predicament. That's an aberration. But a sensitive conscience of doing right before the Holy Spirit is a good thing. Don't go against your spiritual conscience. He that doubteth and just goes ahead, whether somebody compels me or whether I just override it because I want to participate, to him, I see it here, it says it is sin. So you need to get a clear conscience about that thing. And let me tell you, sometimes, I'm going to give you a third thought, it may be that later on it does clarify and you can go ahead and do it. And you say, okay, I don't know why I was being so oversensitive on this thing, but now I have peace about it and I can go ahead. But wait till that happens. One of the men in the church came to me Sunday, and totally different thing, and they were talking about at work they were being taught what I used to call sensitivity training. Sensitivity is having everybody else, you know, right now the biggest issue is gay rights in the workplace. And the thing that happens when you go, somebody else is, in your heart, you're saying that's wrong, they're telling you, but it's right. Boy, this is a big conflict, isn't it, in the world. Be careful you don't let somebody else, I don't care who it is. I don't care who it is. Pastor Butts, I don't care who it is. If you're not at peace with it, don't do it. Don't desensitize your conscience. Okay? Let me get my notes. So, do I have doubts? One of the illustrations I heard early in life, Dr. Bob Sr. used to use this in a sermon. He said of a man that was getting ready in the morning. He was getting ready to go to work. He pulls out a shirt that he wore yesterday. It still seemed to be pretty good. He held it up. He wasn't sure if he should wear it or not. So he yells down the stairs to his wife. Should I wear this shirt? I'm not sure. She said, if you're doubtful, don't. Now, most of us men, if we don't doubtful, we do, right? Then we get married, okay? Let me say, if it's doubtful, don't. That's a safe course. That's a safe course. All right, let's go one more. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look at verse 22. This is a long list, starting with verse 16, of all kinds of things that are thrown out by Paul. He says in verse 16, rejoice without evermore, pray without ceasing, quench not the Holy Spirit, give thanks in everything, despise not prophecy, prove all things. Verse 22, abstain from all appearances of evil. And so here's the question. does it give the appearance of evil? Does it give the appearance of evil? Does it make me look like I'm even sinning? I've used this illustration over the years. There was a store down the street from us, our old property, about two blocks down. They advertised out front, I think back then it was 10 pounds of ice for 49 cents. That's a good thing, 49 cents for a 10-pound bag. Even back then, that was a good price. What is it now? I'm sure it's a lot more than that. But the problem is, it was at the liquor store. Seven Spirits Liquor. So can you see Pastor Butts going in and out of the Spirit Liquor store, buying stuff in these bags and putting it in the church van? It just doesn't look right. Unless you're a Catholic priest, then there's no problem. You're just doing what you normally would do, all right? Okay, but for Pastor Butts, that would really not look so good. Well, I use that illustration over the years. One day I got a phone call from a man in our church. He was pretty upset. Pastor Butts, you know so-and-so in our church? Let's just say it's Brother Byerly, somebody that's that active, okay? Okay. You know Brother Byerly? Yes. He was down at the 7 liquor store. Yes. He said, you do know that? He said, listen, I see his car parked there two or three times a week. I go to Gerwin's grocery store, and I see it pulled up there, and it's there every day. I mean, almost every day. I see it all the time. I mean, you can't miss it. It's this banged up sort of an older car. It's his. I said, and it's right there. So I thought, well, I'm going to have to talk to Brother Byerly. So before I could talk to Brother Byerly, I wanted to go down and see if it was there myself. And indeed, the car was there, but another man came just about that time out of the 7 liquor store and got in. It wasn't Brother Byerly. And got looking closer. It wasn't his car, but it was amazing. It had the same bang-ups and everything on it. It just looked like that car. But it really caused this other brother to have a problem. Even though Brother Byerly didn't do anything wrong, and there was total innocence in this case, you get the idea of how an appearance really bothers people. And you know, there's a truth that a lot of people, if they see us doing stuff, they won't call the pastor, but their heart will just ache. And every time Brother Byerly would then get up to lead the singing or teach a Sunday school class or you know, work on that bus route or have the kids in junior church, they would say, how could that happen? So when I know that something that it just could be easily misconstrued, I ought to back away from it. I've seen a lot over the years, people want to help somebody that's got a problem. So here's a young man, he's trying to help somebody at work that's having a problem, and he says, you want to come and stay in you can use my couch, but it's a young lady. No, it's not that he's having any relations with her, but it sure doesn't look good. Call up your friend and have them keep her. But don't have her sleep on your couch. And there's a lot more wrong with that than just that, okay? All right. A lot of temptation, a lot of foolishness. But just because you have a good purpose behind it doesn't mean it's always good. You've got to think of the bigger picture involved. And so that would sort of tie back together. Would Jesus do it? Could you imagine if Pastor was doing it? What should I be doing it? And so this idea, it has an appearance of evil. I'll give you the ultimate, this affects Richard Butts. When I was about in seventh grade, there was the man that was, he was a regular secular guy helping with the teenagers. He taught the teenage youth group. And he, for a living, Monday through Friday, worked for his father-in-law selling farm equipment. My dad was a farmer, so he bought a lot of farm equipment from that man's father-in-law. And one day, I was in the barn, and my dad was not particularly a drinker. Even though he was unsaved, you see him have a beer once every couple years. That was it. And so on the barn, here sitting at a place where all the paperwork was sitting a bottle of Seven Crowns whiskey. And I said to my father, I said, Dad, what is that? Because it's just out of place in our home. It just wasn't ever there. I said, what is that? And my father, I think, got great glee out of turning around and saying to me, your Sunday school teacher gave that to me. So that blew me away. I didn't go to church for the next 2 or 3 weeks. I just sat and stirred up inside, really angry inside that he was such a hypocrite. So I finally did go to church one Sunday morning. I guess I've always had this kind of personality. I waited till after church was over and went up and told him what I thought of him. And didn't go to church for 2 years. Till I was in ninth grade. Fast forward a whole lot of years. Praise the Lord, I got past that. Somehow the Lord put in my mind, don't let other hypocrites keep you from being, and you just don't be the hypocrite that causes other people. I got past it, and praise the Lord, I'm a pastor. I was talking to my dad years later. I went to Bible college. I was talking to my dad. I don't even know how we came back to that subject. I said, do you remember when Don Wood gave you that bottle of liquor? He said, well, let me tell you the other part of that story. We were at a place where they were selling equipment, and somebody handed it to Don Wood as a Christmas present. And he said, I don't drink, I don't want it, but it's yours. That's all he did. I don't think Don particularly did anything that wrong. But do you get an idea how an appearance of evil can destroy people? If I know that I'm given an appearance of evil, there is the issue for me. We can't help when accidents happen. The devil's good at misportraying. Amen? But if I know that somebody else is viewing this as if I'm participating in wickedness, why would I still keep doing it? And it gives an appearance, an aura over me like that. So that would be our two questions for tonight. We would ask ourselves those two questions. Is it doubtful? I just don't have peace in my heart. Don't do it till I get faith. And does it have an appearance that can easily be misconstrued? Then stay away from it. Just give yourself some freedom from it. Let's bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us as Christians to want to be doing what you want us to do. Help us not to resist it. Help us not to feel trapped or hemmed in, but help us to seek to be sensitive to you, to your Holy Spirit, to the Scripture, and to embrace that with all of our heart. Before I finish my prayer, I wonder if there's somebody here that would say, Pastor, as you've gone through a few things, some of these doubtful things of faith things or cause somebody else to stumble type of things, I realize that I haven't been exactly wise in some of the things I've allowed in my life. And I think I need to really step back and rethink some things I've allowed. And God's sincerely helping me to think things through. Pray that I would do what God wants me to do. But he's pricking my heart about some stuff. Pray for me. Is there someone like that tonight? Lord, help us to be sensitive to you. In Jesus' name.